2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, these are God's words. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In the previous passage we had one of the great statements of God's electing love and predestining to salvation. And he said, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the triune God who has loved and decided to save through Jesus Christ for Jesus' glory, through the Son for the glory of the Son, by the work of the Spirit who gives us faith in the truth, which joins us to the Son, and through which we are not only justified but also sanctified, and the end of that sanctification is our salvation. And then he comes, and you might think that, oh, well, if God has decided everything beforehand, then I don't have to do anything. I'll just do whatever I want, and God will save me, and I'll go to heaven. Except that the way that the Spirit brings you into union with Christ is through faith in Jesus. And what happens between your justification, when you're made righteous before God, forgiven of all your sin, acquitted of your guilt, between your justification and your glorification, when you are perfectly holy, and therefore perfectly happy, because you can't be happy without being holy, not truly happy, and not unless truly holy, what happens in between is sanctification. And in sanctification, God works by sustaining our words and works. And so he immediately follows one of the most emphatic statements of election and predestination in the whole Bible with a command. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast. And how do we stand fast? How do we stick to this new life that God has given us in Christ by his Spirit? How do we keep from sliding back into living for ourselves as fleshly people in the way that someone who doesn't know God at all could live, in the way that someone who doesn't know Christ at all could live? Isn't it a condemnation of us when we live an entire day in a way that any, you know, well-disciplined pagan could have by common grace? In fact, there are many pagans who by common grace live better than many who profess themselves to be Christians. But that is a condemnation of us. How do we stand fast? Well, we stand fast by holding to the traditions. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions. Now, all sorts of mischief is done out of this idea of holding to the traditions, because they say hold to the traditions of the word. You know, good, quote unquote, and you definitely put fear quotes on that, good Christians have done this for 1,000 years or 1,500 years. Or even since the New Testament. There are a lot of things that they did wrong in the New Testament that they're doing wrong still, and they think they're great traditions. But he doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us with an excuse for doing that, because he says, which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So when he says traditions here, he's not talking about anything that was handed down. He's talking about what came by the word of God, by the apostolic preaching, by the apostolic writing. This is one of the traditions. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he uses the word tradition to say, you keep holding fast to that by which God holds fast to you. And so, He tells us that the love that God loved us and chose us in verse 13, is still giving us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Now, this good hope that we have by grace is in God Himself. You see, in verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, so you see the Son and you see the Father, and what you might miss is that the word consolation comes from the word paraclete. And then the word comfort in verse 17 comes from the word paraclete. And who is the other paraclete? We're accustomed to saying the paraclete, but when Jesus promised the Spirit, He said the other paraclete. Why? Because while Jesus was on earth, He was the paraclete. He was the one called alongside the disciples. And when He was going away, He said He would send another one to be called alongside, and that is the Holy Spirit. So again, in verses 13 and 14 last week, from all eternity, the triune God planned the salvation that He would accomplish. And now, verses 15 through 17, in your life, day by day, the triune God, the Holy Spirit giving you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, this everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. So we are to do every good word and work. Verse 17. May He comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now we do so badly that our flesh tends to be self-satisfied. Whenever we say a single good thing or do a single good thing, we internally, God help us and have mercy on us, start patting ourselves on the back and say, oh, I said a pretty good thing. Oh, I did a pretty good thing. But we're actually called to do and ought to do as God's creatures and ought to do as God's subjects and have been redeemed to do as His saints and His beloved and His adopted. We ought to do every good word and every good work. Now, the only hope for that is God the Holy Spirit giving us from the triune God that good hope by grace, that everlasting consolation, everything that we need from God. And so the Christian life is lived not sitting on our hands because we're good Calvinists and we figured out that God has planned the end from the beginning. Christian life is lived in dependence upon the triune God by the continual active working of the Holy Spirit as we seek from God to do every good word and every good work. And that's how we stand fast. We hold on to the tradition of everything the Scripture teaches, because it is God who holds on to us. So let's pray that the Spirit would be using His Word, reminding us of all that we've learned from His Word our whole life long, and particularly in every moment, the part from His Word that we need to speak that good word in that moment, to do that good work in that moment. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this portion of Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit's helping us even now. We feel quite sharply that we read and teach in weakness, and we listen to our daddy in weakness. But, O Lord, when we are weak, then You are strong. And so we pray that Your grace would be sufficient for us, and that Your Spirit would apply Christ to us, that He would be glorified in good words and good works from our life. As You continue sanctifying us, preparing us for that salvation, that heaven, that perfect holiness and happiness that You have determined for us and that Christ has earned for us and that Your Spirit is now fitting us for. So help us today, I pray. I pray that You'd help my children especially, that they would honor You and that they would love the neighbors as themselves, that they would give preference to others, that they would not have grumbling hearts but be able to rejoice, that we would be content, not censorious toward or despising others, but desiring the best for them and humble about ourselves and amazed at Your goodness and Your love and not forgetful of You, but remembering You and living before You and lifting up our hearts to You and offering everything we speak and everything we do to you. Oh Lord, such a life is perfect and wonderful. Even as we ask for it, our hearts can feel a little bit of how good it would be to live like this. And yet, though we've been taught this and sought this for so many years, many of us, yet we are still barely infants in living this way. So we thank you that you've committed yourself to us, and that your Spirit is the one whom you have given to help us. And we pray that he would today, and that you would be glorified by the bearing fruit and carrying out of this portion of your word in our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.